big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Vodka intimate, an affair with isolation in a Blackheath cell. Well, Mick, it's me introducing this podcast because it's a very special edition by reader request.
Oh.
Reader request.
Reader
on Twitter.
Request time.
Yes,
my
reader
favorite.
Request time. Please, this is, please.
I mean,
a pleading, if it's possible to plead online.
It is.
It's a plea. Please do a whole episode.
Ugh.
Well, maybe not a whole episode, but mention at least. Marillion Lyrics, that's what they said.
I know.
Talk about Marillion Lyrics. That's,
I know.
Why haven't
we
done that
well,
yet?
Well, we don't talk enough about Marillion.
That's what they said. That's what the readers said. I want more.
Marillion Lyrics.
Yeah, because you've got, let's set the scene. You've gone into a rant because you've done an interview with your old mate Fish.
Oh, yes.
A couple of podcasts ago.
Yes.
And it was like he turned you. He'd done his classic thing where he turned you against the rest of Marillion. And you were now anti-Marillion and pro-Fish.
Was I? When was this? Sorry,
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. Anti-Marillion.
Yeah, very
no,
anti-Marillion.
Never. Never,
very
never, 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 never.
Yeah, you're telling me how awful Mark Kelly was.
Now listen,
and not just me on the podcast. You did this.
I won't tolerate anybody saying bad things about Mark Kelly. Okay.
Okay.
Because you know what I mean.
No, he's
lovely man.
I don't know what you mean. No.
He's a lovely man.
Yeah. Well, he is. I said that.
Is he?
See, there you go. So he's turned you.
No,
the Scottish apparition has manifested himself on your Zoom, and he's turned you.
No, quite the opposite. No. What I noticed, I think what you're referring to is that Fish himself seemed to have, you know, like you say, someone has grown another skin. It's like he'd lost another skin. So when we were talking about Marillion,
is this what you're going to write in your piece?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
If you ever get it done, because we established it takes you 4 weeks to do 500
well,
words.
Well, no, this is a peach because it's the classic Rocky.
Oh, so you can just transcribe it.
Well, when you say just, you see, that's sort of minimizing the titanic effort required.
Yeah.
To deliver what I like to call an elite.
You can even get AI to do it now.
God, no.
Just have that transcribed in the blink of an eye.
I told you, didn't I? I'm sure we talked about this on the pod. One of the readers, Lee Hutchinson, sent me around that time of the last live show and around the pod that time. We were talking about this 500-word thing I had to write on the last in line. I couldn't get it done. And then we talked about...
Wasn't that because you were confused? You didn't know what you were writing about?
Well, no. I still couldn't get it done. But when I did get it done, I'd got the wrong thing done. I thought they were talking about the song. I'm stretching it out, the video.
Yeah.
And they went, this is great. But we just want about the album. Oh, for fuck's sake. So we were talking to Stephen Wilson, and he was talking about writing December Skies using AI.
AI, that's right, yeah.
He got them to come up with the lyrics in the style of Stephen Wilson.
Yeah.
So one of our wonderful readers, Lee, a fine man, he was at the show with Mrs.
Lee. I met him, yes, I did. Both extremely nice, much nicer than you,
than we
for
deserve,
example. Yeah.
Yes. And he kindly sent me, because he's a tech wizard,
yes, he is.
500 words on Dio's The Last in Line in the style of Mick Wall. And he sent it to me. It's fucking brilliant.
It's in the new classic rock.
No, sadly, I'd already written it and sent it. But I tell you what, I read it. I mean, this piece is all over what I wrote. I
couldn't have done
it
better myself, yeah.
It was way better than what I wrote, yeah. Reminded me of what it was like to write properly.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go. See, we do this with the fish interview.
No, because the fish is just is brief, set the scene.
Yeah, that's right.
You go, Q&A.
Yeah, here's me old mate. And it seemed to me as if he'd shed his skin once again.
Another skin that we didn't know existed.
The wounds of 1988 laid bare as if they'd been flayed, like that saint who was flayed.
Fucking hell. Yeah, I'm glad we're recording this because I'm literally going to rip that off.
Yeah.
Interpret. Reconfigure.
Yeah. He still feels the icy assassin's knife in his back.
Shaped like a keyboard.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. You were obsessed with Mark Kelly, aren't you?
What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. You know, Hogarth is the real keyboard player in Marillion these days.
Oh, okay.
Said Hogarth. No, that's what everybody said after he joined. The roadies would tell me.
Oh, yeah, the roadies would tell you. You're going to put that in your fish piece as well?
No. No, I'll put what the roadies told me about fish in there, yeah.
Yeah.
They, one of them famously said to me they got rid of the wrong guy.
And who were they referring to?
I don't know, but they were doing this.
I think this is now a vendetta. I think this has fallen into the category of a vendetta.
Not at all. This
against
is you.
Mark Kelly.
Look, if the glove don't fit... You must acquit.
Yeah.
And Steve Hogarth wears these. I don't know if he still does.
Yeah, he did that little glove that made
two
the keyboard
gloves.
Sound.
Yeah, because he's a very accomplished keyboard
he's
player.
Very accomplished. Yes.
He's got the cape and everything.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason.
So lyric. I got a lyric for you.
Yeah.
Here's a lyric burned into my mind, and you'll have to tell me if you recognize.
Yeah.
I might give me a don't jump in if
no,
I make
I'm
an error.
Give
me
the
a check into
I'm going to give you the
glove
room.
Don't fit. Okay, huddled in the corner.
No, huddled in the safety. I said
See,
I wasn't going to jump
said,
in.
I just
but I
said.
Cannot do. I cannot let you misquote it. I can't
if
let you misquote it.
If the word don't fit, you must not give a shit. Okay,
that's
huddled in the corner.
No, huddled in the safety.
Oh. Huddled in the safety of my pseudo-silk kimono as the morning mare rides.
Yeah, there you go.
I can tell you the meaning of those words. Well,
let's just say, if you're not a Marillion expert, that is the opening line to their most famous album, Misplaced Childhood, all about Fish's broken love affairs and problems, just general problems.
Problems,
yeah.
That opening line, because I've analysed it.
And committed it to memory.
100%. There was when I was working on the book with them in 86 or something, I was on the road. And while I'm on the road, I wrote a live review for Kerrang. And I'm feeling...
That's unlike you to multitask.
Multi-earn a task.
Task. Two checks. Two checks. One.
And they were checks in those
back
days.
Back in the day,
run to the bank, mate.
Yeah.
Can you take my check? It's bounced! they're doing the NEC and it's the big night, you know, because Kaylee and now their arena band. So I wrote about it very earnestly. It's a huge review.
Yeah.
Pete Suarvis goes, he goes, "Hey, Mick, how many times have you seen the show on this tour?" "Oh, I've been here every night, you know."
Yeah.
He said, "And over the years, I mean, you know, hundreds of times." He goes, "So how does script for a jester's tear go?" And I went, "What is this? So here I am once more."
Yeah.
"What does that say there?" And I'd written, "So here I am again."
You fucking idiot.
It was not like it's their most famous.
No, this didn't even used to start the show with it. Yeah.
"So here I am
once more
again."
So that was someone said talk about Fish's lyrics, because famously when the band were the phase you were writing about in your book
at their height.
Yeah, and as they were making it, what sort of separated them from the other new wave of prog bands was the fact that Fish was this famously verbose lyricist who would weave these tremendous...
I wouldn't say verbose.
Well, let me quote you my favourite one, which is from Chelsea Monday, which is a great song on the first album, and actually was one of the songs they've been playing for a really long time, which goes, fragrant aphrodisiac, the withered tuberose of Chelsea Monday. What does that mean, Mick?
The withered what?
Tuberose, as in, you know, a tuberose, a potato.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I was thinking, you mean the potato.
Yeah, yeah.
Tuberose.
Fragrant aphrodisiac, the withered tuberose
of
Chelsea Monday.
So, fragrant aphrodisiac, smelly,
yeah,
smelly
minge. Yeah, so I suppose what he's meaning is we're going from the fragrant aphrodisiac.
Of your minge. No?
Which is
I thought that's what you were about to say.
He left that bit out. We're going from the fragrant aphrodisiac
of your minge
to the withered tuberose
of your arse.
Yeah, that's it.
But
translated
with the potato.
So that's kind of how
to the withered
would do it.
Potato.
You would, you know, Mick Wall would say from the minge to the arse. Fish would say fragrant aphrodisiac, the withered tuberose. Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm trying to say. Is he come up with all this stuff? You know. And people would go, oh, fish. He's like, oh, it's amazing, you know. Really good.
He knows,
you know. Well, that whole, the joke you made earlier about problems, is from He Knows You Know, isn't it? That's the start of He Knows You Know. It's a problems.
Problems.
Light switch, yellow fever, crawling up your bathroom wall, all that stuff. Yeah.
Like what?
Light switch, yellow fever, crawling up.
Switch, yellow fever.
That's the start. That's the start of He Knows You Know.
But what is it?
It's the start of He Knows You Know.
Light switch
on the wall.
You didn't say that though, did you?
Oh, for God's sake! I thought you. How many times did you? I'm going to become Pete Travis. How many times have you seen Marillion? How does He Knows You Know go? Here we go. Here it comes. You know. Here you go. There you go. And then and again and again. That's where it comes from.
Oh, yeah, light switch, yellow fever, crawling up your bathroom wall, singing psychedelic praises
to
the
depths
of
a china
bowl.
You've got venom in your stomach.
You really know this, don't you?
I do. I used to really like Marie.
You've got poison in your minge. You should have listened to the priest when you felt that funny twinge.
And, of course, the great... before we close this appalling section...
No.
The song that everyone associates with those early days of the band that they famously never play anymore, but everyone
Grendel.
Still shouts out, is Grendel, which was 15 minutes long.
I'm
going to
find it.
It was the B-side to the 12-inch single of Market Square Heroes, which was their first single.
Yeah.
And if you were a real Marillion fan, this was the you know, the red letter day. They're releasing not just Market Square Heroes, but they're, here we go, here's Grendel. This is a very long intro, by the way.
It's okay, the track's only 17 minutes, yeah. So we'll be all right. Settle back, everyone.
Rothers is off here. He's got to do that again before the lyrics come.
Every fucking show I saw them do in the UK, I think through all the Fish years, the minute they walked on, somebody would be going, Grendel! And the band would be going, if they shout that one more fucking time!
And I'm pretty sure the last time they played it was the first night at Hammersmith Odeon. They finally got to the Hammersmith Odeon.
That they played it on the first tour?
On the first time they played at Hammersmith, and they did it as the encore. And I think they then stopped playing it.
Yeah.
Because Fish would, at the end of Grendel, we'll talk about what it's about in a minute, but at the end of Grendel,
will we?
Fish would drag someone up from the front row, just a punter, and he would claw it as if he was the monster. He'd claw at their face, and then he'd throw them back into the crowd once he killed them. Because at the end of Grendel, the monster, which is from the the epic medieval poem Beowulf, Grendel the monster is goes on a rampage against the Vikings. Who, you know,
I thought Grendel was just some bird he met in a bar in Glasgow.
You did think that, yeah.
Genuinely, yeah. Grendel MacIntosh.
Yeah.
I was just playing.
That's the end, this bit.
Monster slashing.
Yeah, he's slashing.
Slashing.
And then he dies himself.
Then he dies himself.
Well, I don't know if he died. I mean, Fish would just... He had he, at this point, he had the helmet on, didn't he? He'd wear the helmet.
Oh, that reminds me of a story we must do in a minute.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Talking of helmets.
They. What was the other...
Grendel... But Grendel was based on... This was the whole thing. The reason that Grendel became this sort of cause celebre was Grendel was based on a book called Grendel by John Gardner, which is a tremendous book. And the reason that it was interesting and the reason it became it's a sort of academic text, essentially, sort of done in a lot of writing classes and that sort of thing, is it's one of those books that flipped the point of view. And it's Beowulf told from Grendel's point of view.
Ah, the monster's
point of view. So it's told from the monster's point of view, which is what Fish's lyric does. And I would say, and I remember interviewing Fish... This is probably like early 2000s or something, probably when he was still down on it, and talking to him about his early lyrics. And I think he thought I was kind of taking the piss or whatever.
Which you weren't.
Which I definitely
wasn't. Because they're not your style.
Not my style at all. But I said I would stand up for Grendel now. I think he did a really good job. Having read the book, I think he did a really, really good job. Considering he was a young guy when he wrote it, I think it's a really good lyric, I have to say.
It ends... blah blah blah.
So you thought
your call for justice distorts the truth. Yeah. Well, I've had enough of all your
pretty speeches.
Receive
your punishment. Expose your throat to the righteous claws, and let the blood flow.
And let the blood flow. And let the blood flow. And let the blood flow. Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow.
Yeah, that's the bit where they're doing this sort of syncopated dum dum. And
let the blood flow, flow,
flow, flow, flow, flow, flow, flow, flow.
Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow, flow, flow. Let the blood. 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 Let the blood flow, 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 flow.
Yeah, that's
how it goes. See, I can quote you that.
And then he does the last one. He goes, flow. And then Rothers comes in with a...
But, see, okay, here's
imagine, they should play it again. I'm saying they should start playing it again because it's bloody bad.
They should start with it, mate.
They should start with it and finish with it.
Do you know, when I saw them, last time I saw them, the Hogarth lineup at the Town and Country Club or whatever the fuck it's called now in Camden or wherever it is, Kentish Town, it was great show, always a great show. Such a great live band. First encore, they come out and go into Kaylee.
Oh.
I was with Dante, and I swear to God, John, there were grown men weeping when they did Kaylee. And the whole place, as one, put their arms in the air. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He literally didn't have to sing a word.
Because...
I did tell Mark Kelly that when I met him a few months later.
Yeah, and he was delighted to hear that.
He was sort of unmoved, really. I think because they're quite used to it. Whenever they pull one of those out, that's what happens.
Yeah, it is. Because they don't play Kaylee that often. That's the thing.
There were grown men with fucking tears in their eyes hugging each other.
Yeah. Well, again,
there's a name for men like that. Romantic.
Exactly. Going back to Fish's lyrics, the name Kaylee, which a lot of children were subsequently called... He invented, didn't he? It wasn't a real name. He put together the first name and the last name of his girlfriend or something like that.
He told me a great story about the Croft. You know, you
oh,
were
yeah,
the one
the
that,
Croft. We've got to hear about the Croft.
You were the one that the broke Croft. The news He's about the Croft. The Croft.
If you don't
the
know, if you haven't been listening to this podcast for the last
well, this is why
many
you
ha- weeks,
if you want to be on the edge.
Yeah.
If you want to be in the know,
My, the
on
story,
the edge, up in the air,
the
and
story
down below.
That I broke is that Fish is going to live on a Croft.
The international
on some
news
Scottish
that you broke
island.
As
what,
a world exclusive.
Is what island's he going to live on? It's something like, you know, Aronsen.
Yeah,
something like that. It's in the fucking middle of the sea.
You see, I could say it, but as a Sassanite, you wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he? Couldn't he? Shouldn't he? So he told me Because obviously you can't just, oh, we're off to the croft. You know, it's a process.
Yeah, you have to get a boat and all that stuff, yeah.
Plus they're building stuff and getting it ready. And I said, so what about music on the island? He said, oh, yeah, there's a few, like, fiddle players and what have you. And so they were at some... They were at some concert-y type thing for the island. There's only about fucking 50 of them on the island. And they were doing their diddly-do, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a young girl there. Hang on, I'm just thinking. No, probably not a young girl. Probably in her late 30s, a younger woman. And her name was Kaylee.
Oh.
So Fish is talking to her, and he's trying to figure out the dates. And he went, so, he said, were you named Kaylee after the song? And she went, no, that's what everybody says.
Oh.
My mum loved the song, but she named me after Kaylee because she really fancied the singer.
Oh.
He was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, he's like kept his mouth shut.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. Problems. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, right, before we will come back to this, because obviously it's in...
Well, readers love it. The readers are saying, keep talking about Marillion's lyrics because they're great.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah.
But I am going to sidebar.
This is your helmet sidebar.
Yes. Because another reader, the wonderful guy who sends me loads of stuff, whose name, of course, I can't fucking remember. I think it's Richie. Richie, baby. Is it you? Are you there? Yeah, Richie Rossen, who is a magician and children's entertainer. I wondered if you knew him, John, you know,
no,
on the circuit.
He probably, does he do Grendel? I don't know.
He sent... if it wasn't Richie, it was someone else. It was Rodney. I'm sorry. I you know, what do you expect? They sent me a fantastic link of a recent Iron Maiden show in Czechoslovakia. And, of course, you know it's Maiden immediately because the close-up is on Steve Ariaris. You know what he's doing. Boot up on the monitor. Lift the stage. Machine gun. Crouch down.
And the crowd's going, yeah.
Yeah.
Harry.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, no. They were playing Mother Russia.
I don't think they were they?
No, they were. That's what I showed it to you before.
You said it was Alexander the Great.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I always get those two mixed up. Sorry. Alexander the Great.
This story won't make sense if they're playing Mother Russia, because why would he have the helmet on?
You see, that this is why we have a metal historian such as yourself.
Yeah.
Because if the helmet
I can
don't
tell you
fit,
about history. Beowulf, I've covered Beowulf.
If the helmet Russia, don't fit,
you must quit. Yeah.
So Ari's doing his Ari.
Alexander the Great.
Over the first furlong.
The six or seven guitarists are doing their day.
They are.
Yeah.
And Bruce does a jolly jape. Comes up behind Steve, who can't see him, obviously, because he's concentrated. And Bruce is wearing that ludicrous helmet.
Roman Centurion's helmet.
With the plume.
Yeah, so it looks like a Mohican.
Like a medieval punk Mohican.
Yeah, but with a helmet as well. Even better than Fish's Grendel helmet. And if you know what Fish's Grendel helmet's like, that's really good.
If you know what Fish's Grendel helmet looks like, you're either a woman in your 60s or... Let's not even go there. John wants me to, but I won't. So, this video, Harry's Bruce skips up behind Jolly Jape. Bruce, oh, I'm the jester. Watch me. And he gets that centurion hat, whatever the fuck it is, helmet, and he puts it on Harry's head as Harry's playing, right? And I tell you what, it's not even a case of Harry sort of going,
Bruce, yeah.
As it lands on his head, Bruce's right arm stops playing the bass, goes straight up, pulls it off, throws it across the stage at Bruce.
He's like, not happy.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Not happy. No eye contact. Wheels around and stomps back to the drums. And he's like, You can tell he's fucking...
Turns his back on the audience. That's how angry he is.
That's how angry he is. Meanwhile...
Harry never turns his back on the audience.
Well, he had to.
Unless he's doing that jumping thing where he jumps up and down and turns around.
No, I don't know about that. Yeah. But Bruce, meanwhile, is still skipping around parading like a fucking show pony.
Like a clown.
Because a few idiots have decided it's funny.
Yeah.
Not understanding the grievous nature of what has just occurred. So Bruce then picks up the helmet and passes it to someone in the crowd and is giving them the thumbs up.
Yeah.
And he does this thing, John, under the fate, which is a maiden Nico McBrain thing. Imagine you're clutching either side of your jaw and now keeping that shape with your hand. You just pull your hand down like you're making the shape of
a big chin, like people used to do Jimmy Hill.
Yes.
Jimmy Hill.
Yes, like a big chin. I think in Maiden World, that's like, we're miserable. Ooh.
Oh, it means you're miserable. Yeah.
I'm thinking, are you fucking nuts?
Maybe he wants to get sacked. Maybe his solo album has been so successful.
It's that video that did it.
Yeah, it is, where he dresses up like a Undertaker or whatever.
Yeah, what?
No, he dressed up like Steve Perry, didn't he? He had the long ringmaster's coat.
Perry?
He had the ringmaster's coat on, didn't he? We talked about this.
I don't remember saying he was dressed as Steve Perry.
Yeah, he's got the ringmaster's coat, yeah.
What's the ringmaster's coat?
Steve, see, I go back to Meridian. Were you ever at a Journey show? They used to lower down the red ringmaster's coat from the ceiling.
You mean for Steve Perry?
For Steve Perry. Oh,
you mean back in the 80s?
Yes, of course I mean back in the 80s.
I didn't really see Journey in the 80s.
Oh, no. What, were you too busy or something?
I was kind of busy with bands that obviously weren't as exciting, like, you know, Guns N' Roses, Metallica.
Oh, my God.
Ozzy.
Yeah, we didn't start grovelling around them when they became big again, did it?
Who, Journey?
Yeah.
I think the opposite, really.
Your close personal friends.
You know, if the melody don't fit...
You must acquit.
Yeah.
You must acquit.
Yeah, but you got to see it on YouTube. It is a fantastic video.
You got to see it. You're going to fucking die, as Johnny Z used to say.
You're going to fucking die if you see this. I told you that time, didn't I, when I went around his house in New Jersey.
Johnny Z lived in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
With his wife.
Next to Tony Soprano.
Yeah. He probably did. I forgot what I was going to say now.
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
Johnny Z was going to say something to you along the lines.
So we're in his fabulous home because this is now Megaforce. He's making up some money. Yeah. And he's also showing me his cultural side, bless him. Marsha, that was his wife.
Yeah.
Johnny and Moisha.
Yeah.
And he goes, you like Marcone? I went, what? Marcone! I went, I'm thinking, what is that? Like a death metal band from, you know, across the turnpike.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, come on, man, fucking Marcone, come in. Fuck. I'm like, I didn't say what you're talking about, but I was like, yeah, I think so. Ray Palmer was with me. He was like, oh, yeah, darling. He had no fuck. He wasn't listening. Where's the beer? Can I have a fag? Are there any women? You know, that's it. Ray's done. So in the end, he pulls out this album. And I went, not piss-taking, just genuine. Because I'm thinking, what's he on about? I'm supposed to... Morricone, what are they, a metal band from Massachusetts or something? He shows me this thing, it's Ennio Morricone. And I went, oh, Ennio Morricone. That's what I said, Morricone. Are you fucking deaf? Morricone. I'm going, oh, sorry, of course, Ennio Morricone.
Yeah, you idiot.
Because it was Johnny, stop it. It was Johnny that introduced that music to Metallica, hence
they using it every single time they ever go on stage.
Absolutely. That's Coco the Metal Pug you can hear making a noise. It's not John.
Suddenly became outraged by whatever you were saying.
So we're going to invite readers to send in the style of Fish.
Just go on to AI.
No, they got to do it themselves.
Oh, okay.
In the style of Fish, circa 1983 to 87.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lyric about
Oh, what? Oh, well, I mean, it can only be a lyric about their problems. That's all it can. That's what all these lyrics were about.
About getting away from your problems by going to live on a croft.
Yeah.
And it's called Script for a Crofter's Beer.
Yeah. Because there was that whole thing, that lyric I started off with there, where that vodka, intimate, an affair with isolation.
I'll tell you if you give me
a
chance.
Heath cell.
Off Fugazi?
Yes.
It is Fugazi.
It is Fugazi. And that was the whole... The Blackheath cell was John Arneson's flat that Fish was staying in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did it go again? Vodka?
Vodka, intimate, an affair with isolation in a black... And there's this whole bit about... The walls become enticingly newspaper thin. Now, Mark Kelly...
is it you've got against Mark Kelly?
Mark Kelly...
If the keyboard don't fit, you must make Mark it.
Mark Kelly, in his autobiography...
Which you've read cover to cover. You've got it by the side of the bed.
I got to the end of the Fish bit. I just put it down. So there's not really anything good
after
that.
Too busy laughing?
There was not really anything good after that. Where it said, that whole bit was like the walls becoming tight. It was Fish listening to Arnie and his bird. Yeah.
Arnie had a bird?
Yeah, nursing an erection, a misplaced reaction, all of that stuff, yeah. Yeah.
I tell you what, honestly.
Mark Kelly's book, I'm telling you, kids, buy Mark Kelly's book. It's got the shiz.
Arneson was a dog with two dicks. He was.
Yeah, I know.
I remember we were on tour in somewhere really glam, honest to God, I swear, Doncaster or somewhere like that. Pissing with rain in February, you know, Tuesday. And we get on the bus in the morning. Not like travelling with Mr. Rossi, which is a luxury tour bus with all mod cons. This was basically a coach, you know. And he came on, he literally looked like he hadn't been to bed all night, you know. If he'd been wearing a tie, you know, it would have been askew. Yeah. Neatly combed hair, sort of not combed.
Yeah.
And he was telling us how he'd pulled the chambermaid that very morning. He was late getting on the bus. I'm looking at him going, how'd you do that then? I won't do the voice because I can't remember the exact words, but he was always very cheerful, you remember.
Yeah.
You know, he's offered a little bit. He laid out some lines of cocaine on the bedside table of the Holiday Inn.
Fish has literally got a notebook out. This is great.
Problems.
This is great.
Problems.
Keep going. This is great.
Wait, lane.
Yeah, exactly.
Bedside, a chambermaid smiles.
There you go, kids. There you go. It's that easy.
And we're literally looking at him going, hang on, you bribed a chambermaid with cocaine here in Doncaster to give you a blowjob this morning. That's lovely.
Oh, yeah, because you would never have...
No.
You wouldn't have been interested.
No.
Fallen into your lap.
No, you see, no. I, as a professional journalist, I would have made my excuses and left.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. Yeah.
Right, now, I believe we've got one more item before we close this scintillating episode. Can you remember what it is?
Oh, I do remember what it is. Yeah, it's to do with... we were just discussing my social occasion that I went to.
Oh, we were. Yes, yeah. John.
Because I went to see your hero. Or I went to
John
see...
John and Mrs. John.
I did. And we went to see an invocation of Mick's all-time hero.
It didn't say invocation, did it?
No, well, no. It sort of said... What it was called...
That would have been good if it had.
It was called Bowie Live. And it was sold. It was at G.
Should have been Bowie's Dead.
It was at G Live.
Dead
which
Bowie.
Which is my favourite venue because it's just
right
up
next
the road.
Door. Yeah,
just up the road.
And it's like track three. Well, what's your favourite venue? The nearest.
Yeah, G Live. Yeah.
If someone drives me.
Yeah.
Takes me home.
And it's quite easy to park. That's the other essential.
And there's a
category.
Pub just between us. And yeah.
There's somewhere you can go for dinner beforehand. Yasmin is a big fan of
because she's
David
bloody
Bowie.
Smart woman.
Well, you know,
it's a generational thing. We are the interdimensional generation.
I've heard about it many times.
And you'll be hearing some more, isn't it?
Oh, David Bowie, this and that.
Ground control
exactly,
to Major John.
Exactly, all that rubbish. Yeah,
connecting.
Oh, I've got it on vinyl. It's all of that stuff. But So I see this show and I think, oh, that we should go to that, because it was saying it's like background projections of Bowie, you know, and this guy is really, he's like
Bowie. They've got a looky-likey tribute.
It's a brilliant band. It's a kind of set that Bowie had never played in it, but it would, you know, the ultimate David Bowie.
But they've got
set.
A band.
They've got a band.
What sort of era band is it? Is it Spiders from Mars? Let me explain. Serious Moonlight era.
This is what I'm thinking: is how are they going to pull this off?
Right.
Because they're going to do. Because they're saying the set list is every, you know, David Bowie song you can think of. Oh, for God's sake!
Oh, good of you to turn your phone off, John. I keep forgetting those old Nokias. They don't have
a mute, do they? I'm just trying to.
You have to just take the key out or something, don't you?
I've turned it off. Sorry about that.
You've turned it off, have you?
Yeah.
Really? So if I ring you right now, it won't ring.
It is. It's off. It just said power off. There you go.
It said power off.
Yeah.
You got to kickstart to get it going again.
So I'm saying, what era of David Bowie is this going to be? You know, how are they going to combine it all? And I thought they probably have like a couple of people being David Bowie, because you need a young, you know, you need someone who's going to put the Ziggy costume on.
Well, you could have done it. See, you're tall and skinny.
I could have done it, Mick.
You give off that sort of bi energy.
I could have done the
youthful. With the makeup, you know?
Androgyny of the 70s. That's my watchword.
If the codpiece don't fit.
Yeah, then don't put it on.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, you were
saying.
So
we're in our seats, so we're thinking this is going to be this whole extravagant. So the lights go. They come on, and they start with Diamond Dogs, which
what the band?
Yeah,
What do they look like? Well, Ziggy?
Let me tell you.
Well, you've got to get to the
honestly,
important.
Honestly, so the background projection starts, and it's like, a storm, you know, like a big storm brewing,
right.
And the band kind of amble on, semi in the dark, and they start playing Diamond Dogs. Which you realise, I mean, I'm not hugely familiar with their catalogue, but sounds like a kind of Ian Hunter type song. You know, it's a bit of a boogie.
Stonesy.
This was their. Yeah. This is a good song to start with.
But what do they look like?
They just look like
blokes.
A band. Blokes. Right. So the bass player.
Because Bowie's bands were famous for just looking like blokes.
So well, then maybe this is a play on that, you know. So they've got the bass player looked like he could have been in the Choir Boys circa.
Probably was Nigel. Probably was.
This I was looking at.
Oh, did he have big sideburns?
Yeah, and he had a hat on. Had a top hat.
That's because he's bald. But yeah. Did he have sideburns?
I think he did, or a
beard.
Because
he's saying that could be a take on Trevor Boulder, the bassist.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it would have gone out. But I was actually looking at it during the first song and thinking, this is extraordinary that the sort of music business has got to this point where there's a 1,700 seat venue sold out of people come to see a tribute band. And these kids all started off with their own dreams, but they've ended up, you know, playing David Bowie songs. Yeah. But they were good. The band were good.
There is a name for that genre.
Tribute band.
Losers.
Yeah, losers. Yeah. So the losers, they've got a loser on bass who's nonetheless a really good. They got another loser on guitar who's a really good. They had a saxophone loser.
Because Bowie played saxophone.
The saxophone loser was really good.
Right.
And they had a keyboard loser. They had a female backup
Attractive
loser.
Bonnie Tyler?
Yeah, she had a hat on.
Why were they wearing
Bonnie
hats?
Tyler.
I'm saying like young and attractive or Bonnie Tyler.
You can't say things like that. You haven't said that about any of the blokes, have you? Were they attractive?
I think I did, actually.
I don't think you did. You said,
what do they look like?
Were they a loser? Well, anyway,
yeah, so that's the same thing.
She was very good. She was a very good singer. And they had a drummer who was a drummer. And then the David Bowie guy comes on, and you think, what's he?
Was he like Stella
Street?
And he
was brilliant. It was.
Hey,
it was like fucking Stella Street. And he's got a frilly white shirt and a waistcoat.
Black
waistcoat, black trousers.
Okay.
And he is.
Bow tie undone?
No, didn't have a bow tie. But he had like ginger hair scraped back.
Station.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah. So he comes out and he's doing the hands. Like
the
that.
Return.
Yeah. 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 And but the thing was, he was like, he was the age that David Bowie would be now. So he's the age that David Bowie was now.
Which adds another layer of reality.
But because he's obviously quite thin, you know, and He looked like, a bit like David Bowie, but he looked a bit like Wilfred Bramble as well. He used to have scraped back kind of ginger hair, didn't he? He looked a bit like that. He did exactly like that. Yeah.
Really, he looked exactly like that.
So it was very funny, but he was good. I mean, he was good, but he just stayed like that for the whole first half of the show. So the first half was basically most of the 70s.
Right.
So they did Diamond Dogs and they did, you know, Ground Control to Major Tom and all of that.
Which is called?
Space Oddity.
Oh, well, very good. So they have heard of something then, yeah.
Background for that. It was really...
A space background.
I mean, I don't know. If you said to me now, like, name a load of David Bowie songs, I wouldn't be able to do it. But I knew, except in the first half, there was one song I didn't know. All the rest I knew.
How did it go?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know it.
Must have been a chorus.
I didn't know it, did I?
Must have been a chorus.
But tell me the songs.
There's a Star.
No, they did that one. Yeah, did that one.
The Gene.
Yeah, did that one, yeah.
Is there life on Mars?
Oh, that was great. That closed. That's my favourite David Bowie song. And that closed the first half. And it was
Could he hit
good.
The notes, though?
Yeah, he could, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, are you sure it wasn't a little old technology?
They didn't have the money for the technology. But they... Well, that was the clever bit of getting getting the female vocalist because she could do that.
Oh, they got her to, yeah.
Well, they sort of both did it.
Oh, they harmonised. Yeah. So that was him right with her every step of the way till those final notes.
Yeah, because it does that, you know, how's it going? He's doing all that.
Hang on. Hang on. Who else is on the stage with him there?
That was David Bowie.
Was that Steve Perry got on the stage?
No. So he's doing, you know, in that sort of voice.
Though. No.
Yeah, don't. How do the lyrics
that
go?
That voice.
Tell me the lyrics to that one.
Which one? Life on Mars.
Yeah, how does it start?
Well, the way you're singing it. Yeah. It's a god-awful small affair.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's how it
is. To the girl with a mouse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. He's doing all that stuff.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
But then it gets to the big piano bit, doesn't it? The big chorus.
I don't know, does it? You tell me.
Sailors.
Oh, yes, bit. Yes.
So that's where the female...
Got her kit off.
Yeah, she did.
No?
It wasn't that sort of show.
Oh.
Look, we're not in the Holiday Inn in Doncaster as much as you want to be.
How did you manage that, John? Oh, okay, a bit of that.
So then they have the interval and then they come back out again and they start. But he's dressed in a really weird outfit that even I knew had nothing to do with David Bowie. Because they start doing all the 80s stuff. So you're thinking, well, what he'd wear for that? It's like a sharp grey suit, you know. Like
all he the did serious on moonlight gets
Yeah, let, all that stuff. Then let's dance, all that, you know.
Yeah. And there you go.
My little China girl, he did that one. It was good. Oh, so they're doing all the dancey ones. Yeah, what was the other dancey? There's like a 70s. In the 70s, he kind of went into that sort of pseudo soul era.
Young Americans. Fame.
Yes. That's how the second bit started, was Young Americans and Fame.
Right. It reminds me. Oh, is there more?
So the set was.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
They do all the Let's Dance and that, and then I have to say, and this is the thing that's got me a little bit into David Bowie. They did a track from Black Star, which I've subsequently discovered was Lazarus.
Oh, that's a track.
And it was really very, very good. And
have you ever seen the video?
Well, that was when they started projecting on the screen for the first time, kind of photos of Bowie, and, you know, then it's building up towards the end where they did just project a load of pictures of him, and that was great. You know, nicely done, you know. But I went home afterwards and started playing Black Star, which I think is a really terrific album, really, really, really good.
Yeah.
So well, I'm a born again fan, you know. Well, but he never changed.
I mean, when that album came out, you know, 8 years ago, you know, it was quite remarked upon.
Yeah, I didn't listen to
you
it.
You only just discovered it.
But I do like it.
Well, that's good
so
of you.
So then they get to the end and they did, I don't think they did at the end. You Could Be Heroes, you know, that was the last one.
Yeah.
But by that point, he's wearing, right, tell me if David Bowie ever wore anything like that. I never remember ever seeing David Bowie in a T-shirt. He's wearing a T-shirt.
And jeans.
And he's wearing, a sort of ringmaster's coat, but it was a Union Jack one.
Oh, no, there was a... There was
there
a,
something like that?
Yeah. But in a before Black Star, but after he was still.
So the period when nobody was taking any notice.
When he was fucking desperate for it. It worked for Jerry Halliwell.
I'll do it. Yeah. Okay. So these maybe references.
Ironic.
Them. Yeah. But the other one that he did that was really was, the ashes to ashes.
She's funk to funky. We know Major Tom's a junkie.
That was good.
Strung out in heaven's high.
Hitting it. Female vocalist did that.
Got a kit off.
But the keyboard player at that point, that was his big moment, the keyboard player, because he could press that button that went. Ding-dong. But you're boo boo boo. Boo boo boo. Boo boo boo. Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds really good.
So it's a 2-hour show. I mean, you got your money's worth. That's the thing with tribute acts. They're not, the tickets aren't expensive and you get your money's worth.
How much were the tickets?
They're like 33 quid or something.
33 quid? Did you get a meet and greet with David?
No.
I would have loved that.
If we did, I didn't go.
You say.
I was out the door.
You say.
Yeah. But I thought it was really good, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I had a good night. G Live, venue of legends, is the venue of legends. There's a lot of tribute acts. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should play that venue, John.
That was where I saw the Illegal Eagles.
We've got to do our worst of Iron Maiden show.
Yeah, but that's not a tribute show, is it? That's just...
Oh, I don't know. I think that's a very sincere tribute.
Yeah.
Alexander the Great. You still haven't seen Slow Horses, have you?
No.
I'm telling you now, the scene with Ho playing Alexander the Great. One of TV gold.
TV
it had
gold
to be that. It's always someone that really knows what they're doing when they chose that track.
TV gold.
TV gold. And do we have, before we conclude this scintillating, very special episode, did we already thank Bayer?
No.
Because we must,
tell you what,
we must.
Whoever that Bayer. David Bowie bloke is, get yourself a Bayer microphone.
Yeah,
and the tribute show will be,
much
improving.
Improved.
Yeah,
because if the Bayer mic don't fit,
you must
acquit.
Sailors sitting in the dance hall.
Did you ever see that show Life on Mars, the detective?
Oh,
show?
Yeah.
There's a fantastic.
No,
bit.
I don't know it.
Have you seen it or not?
I have, yeah.
There's a great final episode of the first series. For the first time in the series, they bring that song in on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And it's that line, look at the lawman beating up the wrong guy.
Oh, very good.
Oh, man, wonder if he'll ever know he's in the freakiest show.
So you could get you're not bad.
Yeah,
you're not bad.
Yeah. Well, you
not
get that bird
me.
That gets her kit off, and we'll see what
we'll
can do.
We'll talk about it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How do I stop this, Fern?